is my first podcast, and I am very excited because I have grown to like podcasts a lot. I never did one before because I didn't understand them. I just listened to the radio. But now I listen to podcasts, so I want to make one. This is called Why Didn't They Laugh? Because it's looking at the underbelly of comedy. Like when jokes don't work. Sometimes you can just pull a joke out of the air and it just works. It's almost like it existed before you grabbed it and it was just meant to work. But I'd say the majority of times, it doesn't really work at first. Or you get some giggles, but it's not strong. So basically, I'm going to show my process of writing jokes. From the first time a joke bombs until it works. Because I can just record the audio of my sets. It doesn't take a lot of memory on my phone. And it's fun. The first joke happened in Tampa. I just found out that the sitcom I've been on for the last 3 years had been canceled. And it was devastating. Because I really loved working with those guys. And they're my best friends. And it was sad. So I was kind of in a bad mood, and I'm on stage, and I started thinking about legacy, and, I actually kind of want to start every podcast with a joke from my dad. Here's my dad telling a joke.
Well, I talked to my anthropology friend, and he said, well, John, you always have to remember, if you're a member of royalty, no matter what culture, you always have advantages. I said, oh, that must be true. Right, he said. And I said, well, as the old saying is, once a king, always a king. But once a knight, should be enough.
Okay, that's my dad telling a joke. He's kind of fruity and super funny. He's a professor. Has a lot of nightgowns. But that joke kind of got me thinking that this podcast episode should be about legacy. You know, like once a knight ought to be enough. Once a king, always a king. My dad's fruity little joke has a deeper meaning than his just giggles and wiggles. So on stage one night in Tampa, the crowd was pretty hammered. And I just start kind of going on a rant. And here it is.
I think the root of a lot of people's misery is over-controlling their life. Like, they're in stress because they're trying to control their shit. They're, like, in control. Have you ever thought about, like, the fact that nothing fucking matters because your legacy is up to chance? Julius Caesar, right? Greatest general of all time. All time. First real emperor of Rome. What does he get? A salad. It's a salad. The Earl of Sandwich gets the whole fucking lunch menu. See, to me, that's fucking hilarious. Okay, Christopher Columbus goes across the ocean first. Takes all the chance, right? Is this called North and South Columbia? No. It's called America, named after the dude who made the map 10 years later. So who gives a fuck about anything? Alright, that's a little intense.
Okay, we can see that there was a lot of mistakes made there. Saying who gives a fuck about anything is not a good thing to say in a joke, typically. I mean, some comedians could get away with it, not me. That's really depressing. It's never a good sign when you have to tell the crowd that you think it's funny. And you'll hear people laughing, but that's just afterburn from my last joke that did work. So that's the thing. This whole podcast, we will be analyzing my failures. It's almost like your limp wiener. You know, we're not going to look at the boner, you know, the thing I'm really proud of. We're going to look at the limp, like the cold, like sad wiener. But that's okay. You know, I feel like I've done enough good comedy over the years that I can show you guys, you know, my limp ween. And we can enjoy the process. Because that's what I like about podcasts, is there's a lot of really smart people that like this stuff. Like, they like the analysis and the process and the behind the scenes of how a joke is made. And it's great. It's great how smart people are. It's actually mind blowing. And it's I like that you have to download a podcast because it kind of weeds out crazy people. I don't like when videos go viral or like, I don't like viral because then all these crazy people just say really intense shit. And it's not fun for me because I have to engage with everybody. It's a sickness. If someone's like, that means you hate women. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's about ducks. It's about bread. But I've learned that you can't convince a crazy person anything because they just want to be mad. They just react to buzzwords. And, you know, a lot of comedians are really good at just tuning that out. I'm not. So if you downloaded this, I'm guessing you're smart or at least willing to not get angry all the time. So that's awesome. I love that because there will be some stuff said that could be seen as offensive because in the beginning, you know, when you're first sculpting something, there's a lot of rough edges and I will probably say some things that aren't very acceptable. Some comedy comes out of bitterness and anger and depression. But by the end, it's polished down to a universal truth or at least a perceived truth. Or at least it makes people feel good and it makes their lives feel less stressful and scary. That's my job. That's what I like to do. But in the process, people can get pissed off. All right, here's another take. The same weekend. Round two.
Most rage comes from people's desire to control the world. I need control. I have control. But just let go. Just let it go. Nothing you'll ever accomplish will matter towards your legacy. Legacy is chance. Julius Caesar, greatest military leader of all time. All time. By far. He gets a salad. You'll never do anything close to what Julius Caesar did. He gets a salad. And a way of birthing a baby that doesn't come out of a vagina. That's his legacy. A cesarean and a Caesar salad. It's true. It's these are facts. The Earl of Sandwich, it's all sandwiches.
Okay, that's another horrible attempt. That didn't work. And partially, there was a fork that dropped during the joke. So I don't know how much that affected it. These are all at clubs, like nightclubs, not in theaters. Theaters are a whole different ballgame. I mean, I'm dealing with really drunk people and forks are dropping and stuff like that. But I made some horrible mistakes that time. I tried to learn from my last shot. I bailed on Columbus because I feel like, you know, Native Americans and Hispanics and a lot of people have some serious bitterness towards Columbus. So it's tough to make that funny. Like, you know, they just look at me like, he raped and killed everyone. And I'm like, no, but the map maker, Amerigo Vespucci, got to name the continent and Columbus didn't, even though he, and they're like, no, but he raped and killed. He's bad. So I bailed on that. Because I don't know what it's like to be Native American and really, really, really hate Christopher Columbus. So I threw out cesarean that time, which was a bad move, because as you can see, people groaned before they understood. One of my biggest pet peeves on the planet is when people groan when they just don't understand something. I understand that that wasn't necessarily funny, but they went, oh, I go, a birth that isn't from the vagina, and people went, oh, and I went, cesarean, and they went, oh. So it's they groan because they didn't put it together. You know, me personally, if I'm going to groan, I should really know that I'm offended. Like, don't just groan because you hear a word or you're confused. Also, the cesarean is not named after Julius Caesar. He was born through a cesarean, but it existed before for I think several hundred years. I think, yeah, cesarean is not related to him. Interesting. But something kind of interesting happened that set. Afterwards, I kept going with the Earl Sandwich and that just tanked. I saved you guys that because it was just god awful. You know, the Earl sandwich gets the whole lunch menu. All that. It was just bombing. And my feature afterwards was like, yo, I was like, this dude, Devin, really funny out in Orlando. He was like, I'm like, why do you think Earl sandwich is bombing? Like, that's clearly funny. And he's like, why are you talking about the Earl of Sandwich, like the sandwich shop? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, in Florida, there's a whole chain of sandwich shops called the Earl of Sandwich. It's like Subway or Quiznos. And I did not know that. So the crowd thought that I was talking about a sandwich shop. And in that context, it makes absolutely no sense. So I was wrong. I didn't have enough knowledge to pull that one off. It made no sense. Like, the Earl of Sandwich gets a whole lunch menu. I might as well be saying Quiznos gets a whole lunch menu. That makes no sense, and that was my bad. I did not understand that the state of Florida has a chain called the Earl of Sandwich. So I hit the drawing board again. Because at this point, I know there's something here. You know? It's funny that Julius Caesar, like, these people do such amazing things, and in the end, like, Achilles gets a heel, like the Achilles heel. And that's because he was killed through his heel. I don't know. I find that pretty funny. So I bailed on the sandwich and I gave it another shot. Here's round three, same weekend. This is within 24. This is all within like 48 hours of each other.
Legacy is chance. Like, your whole life, just enjoy it. Love the people in it, because legacy's chance. Look at Julius Caesar's greatest general who's ever lived. First emperor of Rome. He made the Republic of Rome an empire, right? What does he get? A salad. He gets a salad. It's not even a good salad. It's not a crab salad. It's just lettuce and croutons. It's shitty, right? General Tsao, real guy, gets the best chicken in the world. You don't even know who the fuck General Tsao is. He's a 19th century Chinese general. True story. He gets General Tsao's chicken. Caesar just gets lettuce and fucking croutons. And I researched this shit.
Okay. We're growing a little bit. I swear a lot in clubs, but that's because, you know, I'm dealing with animals. Half the crowd is fine and normal, and the other half is literally just pounding Jaeger and Goldschlager, and it's someone's bachelorette party. The front row, the guy's got his foot on the stage because he feels insecure because his girlfriend's laughing when I play the piano. There's a real element of animal wrangling to club comedy. Theater, it's a lot easier to be clean. And I like being clean because you get a bigger audience. But sometimes you have to keep shocking people to pay attention because they're so hammered. And if someone's like just wasted, and you're like, how funny is corn? What's the deal with corn? It just seems very false. So that's why I kind of swear a little bit in these. But interesting thing happened that round. I realized that I'm saying salad too aggressive. I went, he gets a salad. A salad. And it was that second kind of melancholy, depressed way of saying it that got the laugh. So that worked. And then General Tsao's chicken, I think, will work. I just made the mistake of over-explaining and not letting the audience laugh. I've been doing stand-up comedy now for 14 years, and that's probably my biggest battle, my biggest war inside myself, is I will say something, the audience starts to laugh, and I just keep going over it. Like, I'm like, he was a real general. I looked it up on Wikipedia, but like, no one cares. And once I have a joke down and I know how it's structured and how it works, I can cut all the fat out of it and make it smooth, and I don't have that. But when I'm still riffing or working on something, I just have this this gear shift where I go into this intense zone. I guess it's from having college professor parents. They just talk so much and they overexplain everything. That's my bad. But I think General Tsao's chicken works. I think that's a good example. I kind of want to go back to the Earl of Sandwich at some point when I leave Florida, but at this point, this is what I'm working with. And as you can see, it's more optimistic now. And the first take, I was like, life doesn't matter. Everything sucks. Caesar got a salad. It's a dollar extra. And that's depressing. No one likes that. And it was because I was just in a really, really bad mood. But as the weekend went on, I started understanding that there's an optimistic take on this, that, you know, ambition isn't where your happiness lies. Your happiness is in your family and your friends and your daily routine and your health and the way you see the world and your dog. You know, it's the little things that matter. As cliche as that sounds, it's true. And the world can be scary and we can overthink everything and we can live in the future or live in the past or all these things. And this is going to sound really absurd and nerdy and ridiculous, but I started reading a book just to work on this, joke. And it was a conversation between Paul Ekman and the Dalai Lama. I can't remember the name of it, but it was Paul Ekman does all this research on emotion. And the Dalai Lama obviously is the leader of Buddhism in Tibet. And they did this like, you know, 40, 50 hours of conversations where it's this Western thinker who's a scientist, but his research is mostly in micro expressions and human emotion. And then you have the Dalai Lama that is a spiritualist, you know, faith and not science. But both of them have enough crossover that they are friends and they were talking and everything was clicking. And I pulled some stuff out of it that I think could help me with this. And I guess it was the, you know, just the real cancerous nature of revenge and anger and hate, that to hold on to anger towards something only hurts you. And, you know, trying to live in the moment. And the Dalai Lama can talk about living in the moment really easily because he can. He doesn't have to work. Like he just sits on a mountain with like a bell or something. I always find it a little condescending when Buddhist monks are just like, you must meditate for 8 hours a day. And it's like, dude, I work. Like I'm on a plane. Like a baby just like pissed on me. Like I can't just be in the moment. I don't have a trust fund or I'm not you. And, you know, he's like all about no desire and stuff. And he wears glasses. It's like, obviously he has desire to see better, but I'm just being a dick. He's obviously a very remarkable man. And Paul Ekman, I've grown to really, really like this dude because, you know, emotion, like trying to understand your emotion, you know, there's been so much stuff in the news with police brutality and all these, and then the reaction to it and all this stuff that I've been trying to research a lot more about emotion, and there's nothing you can do about it. You feel what you feel. But I think what Paul Ekman and the Dalai Lama were talking about is the difference between a spark and fire, where you have moments between the feeling of an emotion and then an action. And in those moments, you can not put the spark to the gasoline, and that's the struggle. And then I read another book on this. I didn't realize it was on this topic, but Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And that book was great. It's about, you know, instant impressions, blink, like how you perceive things when you first see them. And so I'm reading these books, and in Blink, it was talking about how people have tunnel vision when they're aroused. And I don't mean like aroused, like sex aroused, like when your heart rate starts escalating, you enter this different zone and you perceive the world wrong. And that book was written before Ferguson, Missouri, and all these cases, because this has been happening a lot longer than Ferguson, Missouri. And there's obviously a racial component to it, and there needs to be a lot of work done in these areas. But one of the main problems is not training people at a heightened heart rate. That some of these cops can be trained and their reactions are trained, but they're not trained when they're scared. Like when someone is scared, they react without logic. They react like an animal. Their amygdala, reptilian part of the brain, kicks in. And they make really bad decisions. They become inhuman. And it happens. It's happened in nations. It happens, you know, look at Nazi Germany is the obvious case. But there's been, you know, that example for almost every society ever. There's a time when people are so scared that they do horrible things. And I think that that is what people need to analyze. I know I'm getting a little bit away from Caesar and his salad, but it's all related. This idea of emotion and fear, you know, this all came from me overanalyzing not being on a television show anymore. And I was like, well, that was going to be my thing. I've been on this for 3 years. I work so hard. When we're not shooting, we tour. We tour every single day. We're in, you know, 30 cities in a few months, just promoting and promoting and promoting because we care so much. And now it's gone. Like, who am I? How am I defined? And that was some real sadness and some real anger. And there was nothing I could do about it. And that's just life. And so I started to think, like, in the end, what would I get? Like, I'm happy. I'm a very happy person. I don't need accolades. I am, like, I didn't get into comedy to have awards or to be known for a certain thing. I did it because in that moment in comedy, I'm happy and I'm good at it. And I like to ride my bike. I like to drink water. You know, it's like really stupid stuff makes me happy. And so I looked at Julius Caesar. So like, it doesn't get any bigger than him. Like being the first emperor of Rome, it doesn't get bigger like that. Cause that at the time they thought that was like the whole world. That'd be like king of the world, literally. And cause Rome used to be a republic where they had senators and it was a lot like America in certain ways where everything was voted on and there was all these like squabbles and political allies and, you know, it was very bureaucratic and they had the tribune, and that was kind of like the popular leader of the masses, and that was never really a big job title. People wanted to be senator or whatnot, and then there's always two leaders, and they always had to agree. It was just very bureaucratic. And then Caesar, after you know wars and a lot of things led up to this, but he ends up taking over all of Rome and becoming an emperor. So he has the whole show. You know, this is way after they'd already taken out Carthage. They didn't really have any competition. He had beat the Franks, the Gauls, taken Spain. You know, they were just crushing. And no one could touch this dude. And in the end of the day, that's it. Like, if he died sad, which he did, you know, he was stabbed by Brutus, who may have been his son. That's it. Like, that's what you have. And all those accolades doesn't matter. And in the beginning of this joke, I sound sad, and by the end, I sound happy because I'm starting to be liberated by it, that these moments is what matters, and that the emotion and the fear can destroy you. And our culture is addicted to fear. We're addicted to losing. You turn on CNN, and it tries to make you scared because cortisol is released in your brain. And that you become addicted to cortisol, just like you're addicted to endorphins or all these other great things that come from like running and orgasms and stuff. Cortisol is released when you maybe lose a hand in poker or someone's coming at you with a knife. That's another type of rush that becomes addictive. And so people turn on CNN, you know, 300 million people that day didn't shoot someone or get Ebola, but we focus on the ones that do. And violent crime is actually down significantly since the 1970s, but in our perception, it's up because we keep scaring ourselves. And in this fear, it drives us to buy things. It drives us to work longer hours, to sacrifice time with our families, to get more. Because when you're scared, you hoard. You know, when your body thinks it's dying, it holds on to fat and sugar. That's why stress makes you fat. And emotional hoarding is a problem. You know, it affects us spiritually. And I faced that recently. And this is what inspired this joke. And here's a another take at it. Here's, I think this is round four. So this is probably second show Saturday. All right, round four.
I've been thinking lately about, I love history, you know, I'm thinking about legacy, the legacy of people. People flip out, they especially in LA, people flip out about their careers. They're like, oh, I didn't get that commercial, what am I going to do? It's like, if you ever really read history, it really calms you, because you know that it doesn't matter. It's like Julius Caesar was the greatest general who's ever lived. Like, took Rome from being a republic into being an empire. He's the emperor of Rome. What does he get? Salad. That's it, guys. That's the end. That's the best case scenario. And it's not even a good salad. It's not a chef's salad. Just lettuce and croutons. That's all it gets. There's another general, not as good of a general. Random. General Sal. He gets chicken. And it's chicken so good that if they give you one in the mall, you'll do anything for more. No one even knows what the hell he did. I do, because I looked him up. He was part of the Boxer Rebellion. That's it. Julius Caesar versus General Sal. It's fucking chance. So don't stress.
All right, it's getting there. Unfortunately, I didn't finish the joke this weekend. That weekend, that's significantly better than before. But it still isn't right. And then I did a riff recently, a few days later, where I started doing the character of General Sal, where I'm like, oh, you like the chicken? Oh, what would you do for the chicken? And it did well. Like, that's definitely a character I can do. Where the Chinese people at the Chinese restaurant know that it's crack cocaine. And people don't care about making fun of Asians for some reason. It's not really a hot button. Like, you can do an Asian accent, no one cares, because, you know, China's kicking ass. And we didn't really do anything to them. And I say we, I mean America. Because at this point, like, who's responsible for anything except for what you do yourself? Oh, here's one more take of it. Let's see what happens.
Ebola? I mean, guys, I feel bad for the victims of Ebola. The victim of Ebola. The same amount of people have died of Ebola in America as people having sex with toasters in Idaho. But it's not a plague. And some people are like, well, Africa. I'm like, 4,000. You know what the malaria count is? 500,000. Really care about pandemics in Africa. Get into malaria. That's a real bitch. You're going on since the birth of time, pretty much. That shit. Don't stress, right? Because life has a way of just happening however it's just going to happen. You have no control of your legacy. Look at Julius Caesar, greatest general of all time. Made Rome into a empire, right? What does he get? A salad. That's it. That's not even a good salad, guys. It's not a crouton. And he is the most powerful man in the world, and he gets some lettuce and some croutons. There's not a very successful general in China, General Sal, who got the chicken.
There we go. That's working. The beginning was rough. I have no idea why I started talking about malaria. Like, that was really stupid. Like, if you want to help with Ebola, do that. I was trying to compare death counts and expose human hypocrisy, man. You know, if you really cared about Africa, you'd be helping malaria because it's way more deadly. I'm such a dick. But the beginning worked. So I think the joke should be, you know, life... People try and scare you. It'd be like Ebola, the death tally is now at 1. Same amount of people who have died fucking toasters in Idaho. And then say something positive like, you know, you can't try and control your life too much because that causes us to stress out and forget what's important. Because in the end, what you accomplish in your career doesn't really matter. It's who you love. You know, something kind of sappy like that. And then say, Julius Caesar. Emperor of Rome, first emperor of Rome, greatest man alive. He gets a salad. It's not even a good salad. It's a dollar add-on. People don't even want it. They throw it out. They take it out of guilt. He was a general. There's another general in China, General Cao. You can't name one thing he did. But he gets chicken. General Cao's chicken is so good that if they hand you a piece in the mall and you eat it, you're hooked, right? They're like, what is that? Oh, you like the chicken? Yeah, yeah, that's really good. Do you want more chicken? Yeah, how much? $5.99. Oh, I'll take like 20. You know, you could do, I'll figure that part out because that could be very racially offensive, but not really. It's kind of my impression. Just because my impression sucks doesn't mean I'm racist. You like General Tsar? You want fried rice? No, I just want more chicken. What will you do for the chicken? And maybe start pointing at my ween. Now maybe I can get some Earl sandwich back in there. But like, how do you get credit for the sandwich? You just, he's like, two pieces of bread, put something in the middle. That's it, bro. It's mine. Earl sandwich, boom. The Earl of sandwich. I think history's funny. Everyone, you know, not everyone does, but I do, just because it really happened. Just makes me happy. It makes me happy. So this has been my first podcast, and it's been cool. Next week, we can tackle gender. I love gender comedy. Love it. Because as a comedian, I look out in the crowd, and I see most people are men or women. And I'd say 80% of them are either married or on a date, and they're together, and they're sitting together. And you really can get momentum when you start making their life funny, the pain in their life funny. And that makes me happy. So next week we tackle gender. And as you know, it can be a touchy subject, especially coming from the POV of a dude. On my last hour that I just taped, I did a whole bit about sexism against men that you don't even think about it. Like, during sex, women can say deeper, and everyone's cool with that. It's like, ladies, do you think we're holding out? Like, deeper. It's like, oh, you don't get that last inch. That one's just for me. But keep begging for it. Deeper. Nah, you don't deserve that inch. That's mine. It's like, you think we're holding out? Like, it's offensive. Like, that's like us saying tighter. Like, we're going as deep as we can from our first pump to our last. And when you say deeper, we feel like it's not deep enough. Like, that joke works, and it doesn't offend anyone. But the first couple times I did it, it didn't work. Because I would say, really, I didn't set it up properly. I said the tighter thing first. Because when you say tighter, women are going to get offended. They're going to get pissed. They're going to hate you. But when you say it after they just realized that they say deeper and it's exactly comparable, they get offended. And then there's a wave of, oh, it's the same exact thing. And then the next wave is laughter and realizations. So that is fun. So next week, I have a bunch of new gender stuff that I have to tackle. And my mom has her PhD in Earth-Centered Spirituality. So I recorded an interview with her, and I'll put in some stuff. I'll also throw in some more dad jokes. My flamboyant opera singing father. Gender is fun. And in the future, I might have guests. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm excited. You can email me at whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. Owen Benjamin on Twitter, Owen Benjamin Comedy Facebook. I want this to be interactive because that's the beauty of comedy. No one really writes it. It just kind of comes out of the air. And I'm not funnier than most people. I'm just really good at public speech. And I'm crazy enough to really analyze this shit for hours. So in the end, I'm very funny when you finally see it. But in the process to get there, there's a lot of weirdness. And that part to me is really, really interesting. So this is that weird underbelly, that limp wiener, the wiener that just came out of a cold swimming pool you get to see and you get to interact with. And just remember, if you don't see comedians bomb, they're not working on new jokes. So I remember the first time I saw Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Tosh, all these guys. tank with jokes. Not the whole set. No one really bombs whole sets on that level, but you just never know. There's no equation for this. You can have as much experience as you want, and jokes sometimes just won't work. How am I supposed to know people don't like Christopher Columbus? He sailed the ocean blue in 1492, bro. All right. Later. Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.